ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
As the IDF operation in Gaza intensifies, so does the tension on Australian streets between supporters of Israel and supporters of Palestinian rights. And despite warnings from our security services about the impact of the language used by our leaders, there have been heated scenes in the parliament also, with the opposition leader accused of weaponising anti-Semitism by the Prime Minister. Last night, independent MP for the seat of Goldstein, Zoe Daniel, gave a speech in the House of Representatives warning all sides of politics about the fraying of social cohesion in Australia. She's with me in the studio this morning. Zoe Daniel, welcome.
Good morning, PK.
In your speech last night, you said your worst fears were realised by last week when those protests outside of, in fact, in your electorate in Caulfield South happened outside of the synagogue, which is in your electorate. Do you think the inflammatory language coming from some politicians has contributed to that?
Yes, to some degree I do. I think that we have to be really aware that every word that comes out of our mouths, not only in that chamber, but in the public arena, has a consequence. And the level of anxiety and tension in our communities right now, I think, is at an unprecedented level. And you saw that in my community last Friday when those protests broke out outside a synagogue. It's incredibly frightening for people. I have a large Jewish community in my electorate. And that protest happened at a time when people were at Shabbat, there were people in the synagogue, people in Jewish communities walk to shul on a Friday night with their children. So to have that unfolding on our streets was really terrifying for people in my community. But also, the grief and the pain is not only in the Jewish community in Australia, obviously. Palestinian communities and Muslim communities are feeling that grief and pain as well. And what that creates is this real tinderbox of potential despair overflowing into hatred and anger. And that's when you see that kind of conflagration that we saw. And I think at the end of the day, although that was a horrible thing to happen in my community and was very frightening, at the end of the day, I'm just relieved that it wasn't worse, but I fear that it could get worse. And that's why I triggered the matter of public importance yesterday, where not only I spoke, but there were six independents and six government members. All of us spoke about the various issues in our communities and our concerns on this.
It's nearly a week, well, it will be tonight, since that incident. Many other things have been said since. What's the atmosphere in your electorate like right now?
Still very scared, anxious, traumatised.
Can you explain to our listeners, because I've got so many questions about this throughout the week, saying, well, you know, it's scary in Gaza, but what are they scared of here? And this, I'm just channeling this view. What are they scared of?
So firstly, every single person who I have spoken to in the Jewish community in my electorate knows someone who was either killed, injured, taken hostage, or has a connection to one of those people. Every person. So there's that. There's direct personal relationships. There's also the very direct relationship that many, not all, but many Jewish Australians have to Israel. Many Jewish Australians spend time studying, working, living in Israel during part of their life. And there's also historical pain and trauma around the Holocaust and, you know, hundreds of years of persecution of Jews. Direct fear among friends of mine who fear being pulled out of their houses, who fear their businesses being boycotted. Some are being boycotted. That is happening. Who are telling their children, don't wear your uniform to school because you might be targeted. This fear is very real, and it is based partly on current events, but in many ways on previous events, because people know where this can go.
Do you believe that the opposition leader's motion linking the release of people held in indefinite detention to anti-Semitism was deliberately inflammatory?
Oh, absolutely. That day in the parliament on Wednesday, and in fact, that's basically what led to us doing the matter of public importance yesterday, was by far the worst day I've experienced since I've been here, and that's a pretty high benchmark.
That is a high benchmark. How could that have been the worst day? Why?
Because weaponising anti-Semitism, weaponising fear, pain and trauma, in many ways sort of capitalising on conflict for political purposes is way over the line. And, you know, these are life and death issues. This is not about who gets elected at the next election. This is about sustaining the stability of our multicultural communities in this country, the envy of the world, at a time of extreme tension. Any language that inflames that is highly irresponsible. And, I mean, I'm not the only one saying this, as you've said. Security agencies are very clear that language leads to action. Now is not the time to go, oh, well, I'm going to politicise anti-Semitism in order to help my political stocks.
Do you support a ceasefire?
So this is obviously a question that we're all being asked, and I spoke in my speech about the tone of the correspondence that MPs are getting, and not in order to say, oh, poor members of parliament, but as a reflection of the sort of public sentiment. The threats, the anger, the hatred that is coming into MPs' offices is off the charts. I can't imagine what it would be like if you're a Jewish or Muslim MP. Mm. My staff are taking calls non-stop from Jewish people and from pro-Palestinian people about me having the wrong position. These calls are really frightening. And a lot of it has to do with ceasefire. If you call for ceasefire, you're letting down the Jewish community. If you don't, you're allowing death and destruction to happen in Gaza in a horrendous way. At the end of the day, if I say to you right now, yes, I support ceasefire, that will make zero difference to what is happening in Gaza. I would say, and obviously I've thought about this a lot, I'm a former foreign correspondent. I know the logistics of this. Of course, a ceasefire is where we need to get to. But you have a terrorist organisation in the middle of this. If there's just a ceasefire and there's no capacity, therefore, to try to dismantle Hamas, does that allow Hamas to regroup? What does that actually lead to? That said, I've said to you before very clearly, and I still stick to the position that the Israeli government has to adhere to international law and the rules of war, and I think in some ways has not been.
In some ways has not been. Mm. They've been accused of targeting hospitals. Do you denounce that?
If they've been targeting hospitals, and we've had this conversation
before.
Well, we've
seen what's happening at Al-Shifa.
Yep. So if that's what's happened, that's a war crime, pure and simple. Not allowing humanitarian supplies in, again, doesn't adhere to international law. And you've heard the government say repeatedly, Israel has a right to defend itself, but the way it does it has to be very careful. And I agree with that. And you can't bomb your way to peace. You cannot bomb your way to peace.
What worries you about the strategy of bombing your way? What could happen? What are the unintended consequences?
Well, we've seen, you know, thousands of civilian casualties. Where does this end? And I say this carefully in the context of the conversation that we've just had. Mm. You know, I don't want to inflame the level of division any more than it already is. But as I said yesterday in the chamber, I can have deep, sincere and committed care for the Jewish community in my electorate and absolutely connect to their sense of vulnerability and also be deeply concerned about the deaths that are happening in Gaza, but also where that goes. Where does it end? And it can't go on as it is. That's pretty obvious.
The debate in Parliament this week was turbocharged by concerns about the potential threat to public safety posed by that more than 80 people being released from indefinite detention. that legislation was rushed through. There was, you know, essentially a deal with the coalition. Today, there is many accusations that essentially Labor capitulated to Peter Dutton's demands, and that Peter Dutton really drove that agenda. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I do. And look, the first thing I'd say is that the legislation was needed in an immediate sense for the sake of public safety. I spoke to it in the chamber. It's not the kind of legislation I would normally support for someone who has deep care for refugees. That said, I've looked at the redacted records of the people who were released. There's some very violent and dangerous people in that group, and there was an immediate problem created by the High Court decision, without disagreeing with the decision necessarily. So something had to happen within the boundaries of human rights. I voted for the legislation. When the amendments came back last night, I voted against them, because I felt that those amendments were driven by the opposition.
You thought they went too far?
They were over the line.
What specifically did you find was overreach?
12 months in prison for breaching any of the conditions. And the thing is that the cohort is not uniform. You know, there's some extremely violent offenders and then some other people who don't have criminal records.
Yeah, bad character, right?
Right. And what's the definition of that? And I mean, I'm not going to talk about it here. I think I know what kind of thing those people are blamed for. But, you know, putting a sort of a clause like that across that cohort, I don't think is right. And in many ways, the government was just stuck between a rock and a hard place on this. They had to get the legislation through for public safety reasons. And PK, we've moved quite a bit on refugee policy since the coalition was kicked out of office, and that's a good thing. If something happens in the community as a result of the release of that cohort, there is a high risk of further weaponisation, or should I say a return to weaponisation of this issue. That is a clear and present danger, and the government's aware of that, and so am I from a pragmatic point of view. So it's a difficult line to walk, but indefinite detention, I believe, is wrong. This was going to happen eventually. You know, the High Court was going to say, you can't keep doing that. You can't just chuck people in indefinite detention, not even in a correctional facility, in detention with very little support, et cetera, and throw away the key. That is just not right. So here we are, and it's a very difficult situation. I asked the government for a review mechanism. My concern is that these people will be stuck on these conditions for their whole life. David Pocock tried to move something similar in the Senate. That wasn't accepted. And that's where we got to last night.
Zoe Daniel, a real pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thanks, PK.
That's Independent MP for the seat of Goldstein, Zoe Daniel. You're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.